Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, Yarlis, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Bob, spring has sprung, brother, and we're going to talk a little bit about some shells and some gills.
Yeah,
on the grills.
That's right.
So this is a little bit fishy show, but I'm excited about it. I am Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And the skeeters are springing already too.
Man, aren't they?
Welcome spring.
Yeah, I played my golf league last Monday night, and I'm set. We got, you know, there's a portion of the golf course that's pretty wooded. You get back in there, man, you're swatting those things and standing over the ball, and they're like.
Well, congratulations. You're back in a golf league.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
That's big.
Well, I enjoy
that's
it.
That's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jop, before I get into what you did last week, if you grilled anything at all, and I know
it was big last week. Yeah.
So, Siciliano's Beer of the Week. We already tapped it here.
Right.
Siciliano's Beer of the Week is the Ellison Dawn Street Pale Ale. And what do you think of that?
You know what? I really like it. It's kind of a little bit of a hazy color. It's kind of a tropical aroma when you smell it. And then, you know, there's like this burst of citrus, and then there's some hops on the back end. And this place is over in East Lansing, Michigan. There's Ellison Brewery and Spirits. They also make wine and hard spirits as well as beer over there.
Yeah, so, I've been to the tap room right downtown, right across from, the Lugnut Stadium, I think
it is. It's on Dawn Street. Is where it's at. That's the name of their pale ale.
Yeah, they seem to do a really nice job there. They have a beautiful, I don't know where they brew it, if they brew it in the tap room that I was at.
They got a couple facilities.
Okay.
It says.
Okay.
Yep.
So must be they make it in East Lansing.
Right.
That
they do.
Okay.
But you can find this and many, many other incredible microbrewed brews over at Siciliano's Market on the west side of Grand Rapids. The cool part about Siciliano's is this has an individual price tag on it. It's $3.29 a can. The cool part about that is you can walk in there and make your own six-pack.
So that makes this a pretty pricey beer, actually. Ellison, Dawn Street Pale
Ale. It's a 16-ounce, though.
It is. It is. But I'm saying it's $3.29 a can.
Yep.
So this is a real premium, but it's powerful, too, as our friend walking around the studio here patiently waiting for his segment stated. Tom Lindsley's coming up in the next segment. From Cold Steel Tactical, he picked up this can and he goes, "Wow, that's got some horsepower."
Yeah,
he's a tank driver, so you know he knows what horsepower is all about.
We'll get into all of that. I'm sure.
That's right. Yeah. So, how did your barbecue last Saturday go?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Never a dull moment. I did a graduation party last Saturday after the show, and they told me 60 to 80 people, and then they called and said, "Oh." It might be 100, right, a couple days before, which was time to react. So in my true fashion, I bring 20, 25% more than I think I'm going to need because the worst thing you can do when you're putting a party together is run out, right? Well, their 60 to 80 was accurate, and it was closer to the 60 side. I had absolutely double of everything. I did pulled chicken. I did pulled pork. We did mac and cheese and some cornbread, and I had twice as much as I needed. So what do you do with that when you get home with it, right? That's the thing is that they didn't want it because it was a ton of food. So I bring it home and I put it in the, you know, Ziploc it or shrink wrap it rather and then froze it up. But I got these, you know, 30 packets of chicken and 30 packets of pulled pork. But I did find one thing that worked really well. When you have to package that pulled pork, if you do it while it's still warm, all the fat is down in the bottom of the pan, and you tend to pick off the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you reheat it, it's dry. So what I did is I put it in the refrigerator overnight before I packaged it, and then it was in a silver chafing pan, right? I turned that thing over on the cutting board, and it went bunk out as a block out
came,
of there. Right?
Came out like a gelatin
but
mold.
There was a, yeah, it did, but there was like a layer of fat on the bottom of it, so I could get a chunk of that
so
and put it in the bag.
So you could just cut it into squares, exactly slide right. it into a packet.
And I got the moisture.
You're a genius.
Hey, man. It worked, but that was my epiphany from the
Hey, you know what? When you have to cook for a bunch of people, sometimes these little things that we just joke about now, but
right.
sometimes it's the little things when you're doing a job that make it better the next time or make your product better the next time.
And that's exactly.
Getting that fat in there is a big deal. It will be dry.
Right.
So why buy? Yeah, I get it. I ended up last Saturday over in Pinconning, Michigan, and I'll tell you what, these people, the Northwest Wholesale Outlet, Marty and his gang.
Crazy Marty and his gang,
and
yeah.
Troy.
Right.
This is a gigantic place. I did, and I got to meet Kevin Ricker, who we found out
well, that's right.
was
had...
my buddy Kevin's cousin. Okay, shout out to
Were
Kevin.
Were these guys from the South? They're both named Kevin?
And anyway.
South of here.
You don't have a cousin named Randy?
I don't.
You're from Chartucky.
Not,
that's
not Randy Joppy. No, I might have one named Randy, but
anyway,
not the same name.
Anyway. So this Ricker's Market is in Linwood, which is a little south of Pinconning, Michigan. This guy is pretty much, I'd say, a grocery guru. He worked for a very large grocery chain, ran a bunch of stores for 30 years, retired, and then opened up his own market. And he's got the Sobey thing going, where he's got this huge meat counter, and the brats he made, they were fantastic. They did one brat that was called the Morning After, and there was another station there, some Z93 out of the Tri-Cities or something, and the morning crew was there, and their show was called the Morning After. Good guys, competing station to our UPS 98.5 up there. But we had fun with those disc jockeys, and we had their Morning After. I smoked 100 pounds of that for them, and... gosh, did jalapeno brats, all kinds of great brats. Had tons of listeners from the 98.5 UPS come in to say hi, to get
cool.
their picture taken.
Sorry I couldn't be there, man.
I'll tell you what, that station is a powerhouse, and we really appreciate being on UPS.
Well, I look forward to it. I'm headed up there with Captain Ken to Augrey, and I go through Pinconning on the way to Augrey.
Nice.
And so I'm planning on stopping in there in early
July. You need to
July,
do that.
Man.
Now, Marty roams the premises on a stretch Yamaha 6-seater golf cart with a lift kit, mags, and I'm pretty sure there's
Why
a,
not, right?
I'm pretty sure there's a mount for a 50 caliber on their top. But it's this place is so cool, and Marty is just an amazing person. I met his wife, and of course Troy and his wife, and just the staff it's very just a friendly, nice staff. I found the kayak.
One that fit you just right?
Oh my gosh, dude, I'll show you a picture when we take a commercial break.
So it's, you did spend
I didn't buy it. I didn't say I bought it. I said I found it.
Yeah. Father's Day's coming up, Maureen.
Oh,
right? Kids.
My goodness.
Are you listening? Yeah.
This is so cool. Yeah. I'd kayak my keister off with that thing.
Yeah.
Compared to what I'm using right now. No wonder I hate my kayak.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a fun day. Oh my gosh. I can't say enough about the crowd. We probably had 3,000 people. We had
a lot of snossages, Bob.
The local game warden came by with his, he looked like he was ready for the gang unit. He's all duded up. And he was just a wonderful man, friend of Marty's.
Sure, sure.
This guy knows everybody.
Well, that's cool.
So if you're looking for anything sporting goods related, I mean, from bows to kayaks to, goodness sakes, jerky. They sell jerky by the semi load. So it's called Northwest Wholesale Outlet in Pinconning, Michigan. Check them out.
All right, going to be good. Coming up next, we've got an old friend of the show here, Tom Lindsley. And Tom has a company called Cold Steel Tactical, and I just referenced Father's Day. He's got a couple things here that we're going to talk about that would be awesome Father's Day gifts.
The ultimate.
But anyway, so stick with us, and we'll be right back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than a half a percent of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. And we're having a little bit of a discussion about some spring things on the grill. But before we get to that, Father's Day is coming up in early June. We're not that far away. And Bob, you've invited one of our longtime friends of the show back to talk to us about an upgrade to his products that he sells.
That's right. And right now we have Top, or... His actual name is Thomas Lindsley, but in the Army they called him Top. Hua.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Tom Lindsley, we met way back when we started helping out with Operation Injured Soldier. And you and Pamela, we worked with. And, gosh, I follow her on Facebook, and Operation Injured Soldiers is still just a fantastic program for injured soldiers.
What a special group they are.
Yeah, it is. And I swore this summer I'd do something for them, and I haven't.
Well, they helped us out with our GI barbecue.
They did. They did that too. But we did that. We did that fishing trip where we came out into Saugatuck and took all the vets out there. That was nice. That was awesome. So anyway, Tom, Top here, came up with a real brainstorm, and he came up with a sling. Tell us about it.
Well, thanks, Bob, Randy. I'm lucky enough to have a really cool little operation in Allegan. Simply put, we are gunsling makers of a very unique type of a product. But first, our name is Cold Steel Tactical. We've been building them in Allegan for about 5 years now. And about 3 to 4 months ago, we came to the opportunity to open a storefront right downtown in what was a jewelry store for a long time. So we took that opportunity, so we still build them, and now we have a place to let them go out the front, besides out the back.
That's awesome. And you're having a grand opening coming up.
May 25th,
May
Saturday.
25th. Okay, so picture this. Hold up your hand. Here's the big old grilling mitt. And
your right hand, so the thumb's oriented
yeah,
properly.
That's right. Oh, my gosh, I ended up in Kentucky again. So we're down in the towards Lake Michigan on the lower part of the fat part of your palm. And if that doesn't tell you where to go, just pull out your phone. It's right. Called Allegan, Michigan.
Yeah.
So I guess you can't hold your hand up and show somebody where you live on the radio like you can in person.
Well, it was a good visual. You just needed some coaching.
Yeah. But,
so, Tom, a gunsling, why would somebody want one of those? It's to help transport the weapon when you're out in the field, right?
Transport, that's a good term. Another one I like to use is to simply secure the weapon. Weapon security. Gun control, I dig gun control. I have total control of my gun because I either have it fired, hooked on me in a holster, or that long gun is secured to my body some way or another, either to offer me rest and comfort while carrying or to hang on me the way I want.
Well, yeah, and here's the deal. If you're going to if you have your weapon with you a long time, I mean, it just gets heavy. even if it's a lighter weapon, if you don't have to physically be constantly controlling it with both hands,
yep,
you're going to be better off. You might need binocs. Like, I have a nice sling on my Henry 4570 that Henry sent us. And I love that sling, and it's just a leather, but it's a gorgeous leather, sure, embroidered, or, you know, monogram.
Boss, yep.
Yeah. And because that gun's heavy.
Right.
And I my Sako, my 270, I always have my sling on my shoulder. I don't need to carry my gun all the time in the ready position.
Well, what is a sling? But a strap, right, between two points. It can be as simple as a rope tied one end to the other, or something that has features to it.
So yours really came from the concept of the M16 M4 platform, the AR-15 platform, the tactical weapon platform, so you can carry your semi,
right,
and you can do a single point or a double point.
Well, that's true. As I was mentioning, the only difference between a rope and this sling, or any gun sling, are the features of the sling itself. And what are the features of a sling that a rope doesn't have? It should have some adjustability, should have some comfort, should have maybe survival speed features. We'll talk about that in a second. And options on connections and use. There are one-point slings. There are two-point slings. There are both one- and two-point combo slings and three-pointers. We pretty much work all of those types of products into our trademark design. Is the incorporation of the braid and the weave that we put together with paracord around a bungee core that gives it a great deal of comfort.
That's the cool thing. So it's a braided paracord. And if you don't know what a paracord is, your kids might have a bracelet made out of paracord or something,
right,
like that.
And it's, unlike a survival bracelet, which is cool but gone when you use it,
right,
because of the bungee that's within the core of this sling, that paracord can all come off, every bit of it, and your sling still functions exactly the way it did before because of the bungee inside. So you can build your raft or build your shelter and still secure your weapon.
So why would someone want a paracord?
From a paracord product sling, primarily it's there's a coolness feature to it too.
Sure.
There's the survival feature to it.
That's what I'm hitting on. Is, what would you use it for survival?
For survival. Well, first, assuming that you have a survival incident on this sling, you can take all of that paracord off. There's about 95 feet of paracord in there, 550-pound, high-spec, good stuff. And use your imagination. What can you do with 100 feet of cord? And you can reuse that used cord in various means.
You mentioned one of them. You said shelter.
Shelter, raft, tie up your food in a tree, tie your friend to the tree so the bear gets him and you get away.
Yeah.
Or I'm thinking, how about tie some splints on somebody's leg because they broke their leg.
Oh, any your imagination.
If you're going out west, yep, and you got to hike all day or you're on horseback, and the bear thing is true.
Hook it onto your buddy's belt loop and drag him behind the horse because he can't walk anymore.
Well,
let
grizzly
that,
bait.
Let that survival incident happen. Tell us about it and live through the thing, please.
Right.
We'll give you a new sling because of it if it happens to survive. No, please.
So
let's
that's
not forget who builds these products.
There you go.
These slings are handmade in the southwest Michigan, primarily Allegan and Kent County, by near a dozen mostly vets. A good share of them have combat experience, and a few of them are Purple Heart vets. Every sling that's sold benefits a soldier or his family by $6.
This is the coolest sling you'll ever lay your eyes on, and you're selling them all over the world now. In 5 years, we've watched you blossom. Your store is in Allegan, Michigan, and your grand opening is May 25th.
Yes, it is. May 25th.
How do they find you?
Well, it's 106 Locust Street. You can find us on our website at coldsteeltactical.com.
Nice.
And on Facebook, we are the Survivor Sling at Cold Steel Tactical.
Cool. And this is your brainchild.
On a bet, I started this a long time ago.
I'm so proud of you for that. It's just the coolest product.
We got lucky, Bob.
When you talk about tactical,
there's some luck involved, but it's all it's well planned.
Now,
Tom
is a career Army man. Rumor has it you were in a tank some of the time.
I was fortunate enough to be a member of a tank crew off and on in various capacities for 22 years.
Yeah,
best job I ever had.
Yeah,
my ears. I lost my ears, but what a great way to go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, Tom, what is one of these retail for if somebody wants to buy one just so they got perspective?
Well, this sling retails in, for $100 in some 20 stores in Michigan. There's $5 off in my store, but I also like to let vets, active duty, and any military personnel know this sling is for sale in the PX online at $21 off of any of our prices.
Wow.
The PX online.
Yeah.
The Survivor
and
sling.
If you don't know it, if you're a vet, you can now shop in any AFES facility.
That's true.
Yeah, that's who. You need your DD-214, so bring it.
Go to the PX online, and there's instructions on how to get ready.
There you go.
All right. Tom, that's very cool. Thanks for making time for us, brother. Coming up next, we're going to go to a seafood and American grill out east on the coast, and we're going to talk a little bit about grilling some gills.
Sounds good.
Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made snack foods are Better Made.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. It's time to do some renovations, and Standard can help you out. Barbecue Bob, who we got on the live line?
Boy, renovations. My life is nothing but a renovation. I think by the time I'm dead, my house will be done.
Yeah. Somebody else will really enjoy it.
Yeah. Maureen's new husband. Yeah, so we're gonna take the live line, the grilling line. Instead of a fishing line, we're going to go to Tuckahoe, New Jersey. Somebody I ran across by talking to our good friends out at News Talk 1400 WOND, South Jersey's News Talk leader. Love those people. Right now we've got David Lavari from Tuckahoe, Lavari Seafood and American Grill. How are you, man?
Good. How are you doing today?
Hey, first of all, I want to know who came up with that name.
With Lavari's?
No, Tuckahoe. Anyway,
I'm small girl.
I'm sure it's I'm sure it's an Indian word, Native American.
The Tuckahoe part. Yeah, that's a local Indian tribe.
Right. Great.
In the area.
Right. Awesome. So David has a job, a wonderful story. Let's let him tell us. But give us a couple minutes on how this business evolved, and then let's get into seafood and what you do.
You know, it's been a dream my whole life to have one, and, you know, eventually, you know, started out having pizzerias, and after years in the business with that, you know, a local beer bar was available, and I decided to take it and, you know, renovate it into, more than just a local corner bar, but into a restaurant bar with a, you know, nice outback area with waterfalls and everything, just for local people and people come down to visit Jersey Shore to have a nice place to sit, relax, have a cold beer, and enjoy some of our food on our backyard barbecue outside.
Awesome.
It's our indoor restaurant,
and it's called Lavari Seafood and American Grill. Now, what you told me when we talked yesterday was that it was a biker bar when you bought it.
Yes, it was. Yeah, so it took some time to get it from that to where we are now as a family establishment, but it's taking time, but we're finally there, to where it was. But it was, yes, it definitely was like worse.
That's very cool. So you specialize in seafood and some other cuisine?
Yeah, we got seafood from local use a local fish house around here to get our fish from, you know, local fishermen, scallops, clams from local clammers, mahi, tuna from the longline boats. Flounder comes from the local draggers.
You get mahi up there?
Well, during certain times of year, yeah, the longliners leave right out, you know, right there from about 15 miles away from us, right on the coast.
Really?
And they actually, yeah, and they'll actually fish down. In the fall time, they fish down around the Carolinas. But as the water warms up, fish move up along the Gulf Coast. So really, by the August, they're fishing up off Canada.
Dorado? You're talking about Dorado?
No. They fish on in the Gulf Stream. They move up the coast during the waters moving warmer.
Right.
They follow the fish right up the coast, and they'll be up by Canada up there at some points in August when the water's real warm up there.
So,
then they'll fish right back down the fall time down off the Carolinas. So, you know, but they come here locally, you know, come in, they go out, takes maybe a day or two for them to get out to where they're going fishing and, you know, catch fish and then come in. But, you know, they'll set 30 miles of hooks in a night. You know, it's not like netting, so there's no injuries to dolphins or anything like that. Whales, it's, you know, the fish have to come and bite the hook just like we were going out fishing on a boat.
Nice. So what is a common mistake people make in grilling seafood?
I think it's rushing to flip the fish over on the grill. Not having the grill. And another thing is not having the grill hot enough, because then either way, you're, you know, the fish is going to stick to the grill. And, you know, especially when you're cooking more delicate fish like your salmons, you know, halibut, things like that on the grill, they become really, you know, tricky at times compared to like a steak type fish, like a swordfish or a tuna. So, and you always want to put like a little bit, we use in here, we make a roasted garlic oil and we rub on with our seasonings on the fish before it goes to grill, just to give it a little bit of non-stick surface before it goes onto that hot grill, you know. But that's usually where the problem comes. That, or they leave it on too long, and then you're drying out the fish, and it's like eating a piece of dried out charcoal.
One of the techniques that some people use to avoid the dryness is a brining process. Do you brine any of your fish?
No, we don't. What we do here is after, you know, we get it on the grill, we get on real hot, keep it smoking hot so the metal's white. Get it on there, get our nice grill marks. We don't fully leave it on there the whole time. We'll finish it off in an oven. But before we do it, we have a roasted garlic butter that we use that we put on top to add a little bit of moisture to the fish. That way we're allowing it to seep in. Another way, if you're just grilling on the grill and you want to do it in your backyard, is, you know, get yourself, have some nice little thing of tin foil that you can put it in there, add the butter after you get the nice, if not, it can really dry out that outside of the fish. And then, you know, we've all had it, you know, it's the mother-in-law's house or somebody that thinks they're a grill master that isn't, you know, and you're choking on a piece of, you know, charred fish or burger or whatever it is, you know.
I think there's actually a fish called char.
Yeah,
there is. Yes, there is. That's true.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. You can just get, you know, like I said, get some lumen foil, you know, put some lemon in there, a little white wine, a little olive oil if you don't want butter. I prefer butter because fat's flavor, let's be honest.
Right.
And then, you know, if you get the flavor of the grill.
Okay, if you just tuned in, we're talking with David Lavari from Tuckahoe, New Jersey, from WOND out there. He's a proud listener of the big talker out there, the news talk leader of South Jersey Shore, and probably a friend of Big Paulie's, by the way. When people come into Lavari's Seafood and American Grill, what are the big thing they're craving? What do you hang your hat on? What's Ed hang his hat on?
I'll tell you, our in-house favorite is, you know, we're not just seafood. We use unbelievable meat from a local butcher we have a grilled ribeye at 16 ounces that we finish off with a roasted garlic butter on it. So you got that beautiful smoky grill flavor to it, and then finished off with the butter flavor to the steak and with the roasted garlic. That's our local favorite. Like, you know,
but for a seafood, what do people brag about your seafood? What's the big dish?
The big dish that I'm probably going to say is, we actually do, it's, we have a grilled mahi we do with, we do grill the mahi, and then we have put it top with some grilled shrimp, and then we have a sauce that we make with some capers, lemon, white wine, tomato, finish it off with a little butter and olive oil, and then put that right on top with the shrimp. It's a wonderful dish. But
that sounds really nice.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you have delicacy, you have some acid in there, but it just goes all well together. You know, so it's you know, one of those things. But like I said, here around here, scallops are the biggest thing. You know, we don't grill very much on them. We do more of a pan sear with our scallops here.
Right.
We're blackened, but the scallops being where we are, you know, I mean, Cape May is, you know, the largest port of fresh seafood in the country, and
really?
All the scallop boats here. Yeah,
really?
So it's the scallops are unbelievable. I mean, they are what lobster was 15 years ago. You know, that is where it's, the money is. That's what you're paying for the best seafood. And like I said, scallops, you just can't go wrong. If you never had a fresh day boat scallop,
Hey, David, how do you clean it? Real quickly, what's the key to cleaning a scallop? Because at least in the Midwest here, they sometimes become gritty or grainy when you get them. Is there just a quick tip that if you buy some that you could look over to make sure that they're clean?
You know, the biggest thing with scallops is you don't want to ever let fresh water touch them. They're a sponge. So on the boats, if you ever got scallops, you know how they get sometimes have that white water to them. And, you know, you'll see them in the supermarket or whatever. That's the scallop pushing off fresh water. They actually shuck them into a brine. It's basically a brine. It's salt.
Really?
Salt water. Yeah, salt water and ice. The scallop, when it comes out of the ocean, it's warm. You want to bring down temperature. And sometimes they just don't get in that brine. So instead of putting it in a fresh water, you know, put a little salt and some water. And, you know, that way it's not absorbing the fresh water to it. You're making it almost like a seawater.
That's like the money tip of the day. David Lavari, Lavari Seafood, American Grill in Tuckahoe, New Jersey, the South Jersey Shore. We got to go, but it's so great to talk to you, and I can't wait to walk into your door because I want those scallops, buddy.
All right, sounds good. We'll be glad to see you when you come in here. That's no doubt, and we'll definitely treat you well here.
Great. All right. I'll be bringing a big paisano named Paul Rotella with me.
That sounds great.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay, David. Yeah, Lavari Seafood American Grill in Tuckahoe from News Talk 1400. He's a big WOND listener, so we wanted to give him a shout-out.
Speaking of scallops, man, we're going to cover a couple recipes in the next segment.
Nice.
Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Barbecue Bob, Dave Lavari, he's a guy out there in Jersey who's got himself a little seafood and steak place. Man, that's kind of my
Tuckahoe.
Yeah, that's my kind of place.
That's quite the town, Tuckahoe.
Yeah, right. I'm not touching
it.
I already
have
touched
to go.
It too much already. Yeah, but he talked about some scallops, and then you enjoy scallops.
I do. I love scallops, and here's where the grilling guy turns into the kitchen guy, because I've done lots of scallops on the grill, mm-hmm. and they're just aight.
Yep. Not great.
I like sauteing them and getting them. I would do...
That's in a pan, right?
Yeah. I would do some garlic and butter EVO in combination, and I would sear them up nice, really quick. Here's the thing with scallops, and you always, every time we talk about scallops, you always mention the grittiness.
I'm telling you,
and it's
something...
I never run into it, so I don't know where you're getting them, but
I don't that often because because that's one of the things.
I think you had a traumatic scallop childhood incident.
I did. You take a big bite of them because they're so delicious.
It was something your mom did with scallops. She drug them through the gravel.
They are delicious when they're prepared right, but I'm just I
I know you've mentioned it. I've just never experienced it, so I don't know if it's as common as that.
As the one time it happened to me.
Right? You're going to need some therapy. I know a guy. Yeah. So grilled scallops. So what do you like? Do you like the large scallops or the baby sea scallops?
I like the littler ones myself because I always think they're a little more tender, as well as they're easier to manipulate. I mean, it's a bite. When you start to cut those bigger scallops, and they're numbers, right? It's a number of them in a pound. They gauge them by numbers. And the fewer of them there are in the pound, the more you have to cut them up. And when you cut them up, it just doesn't seem right. I like to pop the whole thing in my mouth, I think, because that's where I'm at. So the littler ones, I don't know if they're sweeter, better, or whatever, but sure. I like them.
Well, you know, a lot of the – no, that's true. And, you know, a lot of the, I guess, reasons we like food or not are just mental opinion or this, you know, this trigger we get when we see it, smell it, touch it, taste it, all those things. And so there's something in the little scallops that, you know, makes you jiggy.
Well, it's one of those things that I don't eat a lot of, right? Because I confess I'm not really good at cooking them.
Uh-huh.
And so I eat them out if you can go to a good seafood restaurant and I enjoy them, but it's not my number one.
Well, he really got this this David Lavari from Lavari Seafood in Tuckahoe.
You just like saying that.
I do. When I found the name of the city, I just started laughing. It's just like
they're probably laughing at us right now because it probably isn't even pronounced.
He lives
that way.
In Lowell, Michigan.
Right.
So I like the thought of making up a little sauce to put over them. That sounds really good, especially with the lemon and the butter and garlic.
And I think he had capers in there too, didn't he?
And
tomato. He said tomato.
Tomato.
I don't know how you spell that, but he said tomato.
I don't know how you put tomato in with that, but apparently it
works. Some sauce, I bet.
Apparently it works. So the one thing I would tell you is when you're grilling a scallop, you're probably not going to want to skewer them because they do want to break apart as soon as they're done.
Right.
So there's a good time to have a grilling basket.
They get delicate.
They're very
delicate.
He said
a white hot grill, though. He said the metal's white.
Yeah.
When you put it on there. So the few times I have grilled scallops, it's not been on a white hot grill.
I think he's a racist.
No, I don't think he is. I think he's trying to tell you how to do it right. Maybe they crisp up a little bit with that high heat, because they cook quick, like a lot of seafood does. It's a delicate flesh, and it cooks quick. So maybe you get a little crust on the outside. I'm guessing. We probably should have asked him, right? Maybe we'll have him back on the show, and he can finish teaching us how to do
this. So anyway, it'd be a good time for a grilling basket.
Right.
And if you're going to get some fresh scallops like that, put some salt in your water before you try soaking them and rinsing them.
That was the number one tip right there.
That's a money tip right there.
Yeah.
And a little bit of salt in there, you're kind of creating a brine, and they grew up in a brine. Yeah. The ocean is nothing but brine.
Right.
So maybe you got the grit because they were just puking up the sand.
I don't know what it was, man. they weren't properly cleaned,
so,
is all I know.
So grilled shrimp. What are you thinking about that?
Well,
you're an awesome shrimp griller. If there's one thing that I think you're kind of known for or really fanatical or fussy about, it's your shrimp.
Right. And there's a couple things that are no-nos with shrimp. And the first thing is don't overcook them. When they start to turn opaque, then you're almost done.
When you say opaque.
Well, they're kind of pink, right? And they got it like they're a little clear. The flesh is a little clear.
Yeah,
and then
they
it
look
starts
like a jellyfish.
Right, and then it starts to firm up and it gets a little bit white.
Then it's done.
Then it's done. And it's not like white and 3 minutes later it's done because now you're eating rubber bands.
Right.
Right? The key is not to overcook these shrimp. And I enjoy playing with different recipes. You know, everything's better with bacon, right? We all live by that credo. But on a skewer, and I use two skewers because they're easier to turn if there's a tandem skewer running through the shrimp, and they hold together better. Wrap a piece of bacon around a shrimp, skewer it twice to hold the bacon, and then cook those. And by the time you get the – and it's always thin bacon, right? Because the thick won't – it'll take so long for the thick to cook that you'll the shrimp will be overcooked, and then you got rubber band on the inside. So thin bacon, double skewers, quickly
so
on the
So you're talking about buying fresh shrimp.
I am.
Not so easy to do.
Well, I don't buy pre-cooked shrimp. They can be frozen, and you thaw them out. I mean, we're in the Midwest, right?
So they're still raw shrimp.
Yes, they're raw shrimp.
Okay, so they're frozen raw.
Right, and you thaw them out, shell them, devein them, right? And if you're lazy, they sell shelled, deveined raw shrimp if you want to do that. It doesn't matter to me. And there's great fish markets. There's fishmongers around that have fresh shrimp. They're not everywhere, but they have them. So, you know, it's whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, Michelle and I really enjoy shrimp. And I know it's not one of your favorites. Kind of like scallopism for me, but shrimp is something that we enjoy.
I like shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
That's when I eat shrimp.
And that's almost better a boiled
More
shrimp.
Well, that's what you do. You steam it. You steam it. So my bride likes coconut shrimp. To me.
No, those are breaded, right?
Yeah, I don't want all that stuff on it.
Right.
She loves the fried, breaded, you know.
Crunchy.
She's Irish.
Right. So the crunchy. Yeah, right.
It's like fish and chips.
Right. just a little bit closer to the coast, right?
That's right. Well, she's also Lebanese, so she the coast thing works.
Right, yeah. But so, you know, I don't
That's
mean,
where the skewer comes in.
there's so many things you can do with a shrimp, and I'm assuming you could do it with a scallop too. But, you know, there's any citrus profile that you bring to seafood generally is a winner.
Okay, I got a shrimp story for you. So I got all these shrimp from a good buddy of mine, a seafood broker. I had them in the freezer, and I did them up for Mother's Day with that loin. The shrimp were awful. They were pre-skewered, pre-packaged, everything I don't buy, but they were a gift, and I thought, oh, how easy is this? They were seasoned with a, you know, this or that.
Some chili lime or something.
Yeah, exactly. One of them was. The other one was garlic butter. And I'm like, okay, what the heck? You know, someone had mahi with it. And it's like, what the heck? I'll throw them on the grill. Frozen on the skewer, pre-seasoned. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Awful.
I'm not sure.
Awful.
I'm not sure leaving the skewer in the seafood long enough. I mean, you know what? I'm skewering them, and then we're cooking them in a half hour.
But I think also you're freezing it with a mixture on it.
Right.
It's not even shrimp anymore. it's part of a consortium.
Right. A big conglomerate of flavors there.
Right.
That's the
factory.
Other thing. It's just like, no, I agree with you. Fresher sauces, baste it on, not marinated.
Yep.
The shrimp is a very delicate little guy.
I mean, you can buy some nice raw frozen shrimp. I think Thailand sells it, Argentina maybe, or somewhere. I see different. Thailand is mostly
they
the
come
one
from
I
a lot
see.
Of places.
Yeah, but don't buy the stuff from China, okay?
Right.
Because their food standards are terrible, and so is their government.
Coming up next, we're going to grill a little salmon and maybe make a little salmon dip. You're not going to want to miss this. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Now you're a man!
Yeah, today's man law number 58. It is acceptable for a man to break man laws if no other option is humanly possible in the pursuit of the opposite sex. His actions will be given leeway.
Yeah.
So if you're chasing some cute little filly, you can break man law. Okay. We'll give you a pass.
I'm not sure. It has to be what it is.
Man,
no one ever clinks their beer on top of my beer and makes mine foam and they laugh. I'm not doing that. There's no excuse for that. That's a man law that I'll never let anybody get away with, right? I'm just saying, that's a pet peeve. Kind of like...
That is a man law. It says you can't do that.
I know. That's what you said, and you said they can get away with it if they're chasing a filly. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to do it. So let me chase something that's a little fishy as well.
Yes.
We're going to do some smoked salmon here.
Therapy bag.
Right. Smoked salmon. There is schools out on, do you brine it, do you not brine it? I prefer to brine it, which brine on salmon is always sugar, salt, and water. I'm going to put a little soy and a little dry white wine in place of some of my water just to get a little bit of a flavor profile here. But you usually have equal parts of sugar and salt and about 8 times as much liquid. So if you've got a quarter cup of sugar, quarter cup of salt, then you need 4 times that or 4 cups of liquid, water, soy, dry wine in this one. Might even throw some garlic or some onion powder in there. You mix this stuff up, put your salmon in it, about 8 hours in the refrigerator, and you're going to get a really nice profile on that. Remove it from the refrigerator and set it on like a cookie rack, the little wire grates. And for about 4 hours, 4 to 6 hours in your refrigerator, and what you'll get is this little film on top. It's called a pellicle. Don't worry about it. It's supposed to be there, and it's what you want because it'll get a little sticky, a little tacky, and you're like, ooh, my salmon went bad. Nope, it's doing exactly what it should be doing because that little stickiness will hold some of the smoke. Throw it on your smoker 4 to 5 hours at 165 degrees. I wouldn't put heavy smoke on it, but I'd throw a little apple wood on my smoker and give it some smoke, and you're going to love this stuff. So what do you do with it, right? Smoked salmon? Well, you can sit there and eat it on a cracker or whatever, but one of the things I really like to do is smoked salmon dip. Because I usually get a whole fillet, right? They're 15, 16 inches long, 3-4 pounds. It's too much to eat in one setting. You have some left over, right? So make some dip with it. Smoked salmon dip, super, super easy. A brick of softened cream cheese.
So you let it warm up for a few hours.
Right, well, I'm not worried about the salmon, but the cream cheese, yeah.
I'm talking about the cream cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Leave it on the counter.
Half a cup of sour cream. Squeeze a half a lemon. Dill. If this is the deal maker right here, is get
the
some
dill maker.
Get some fresh dill and mince it up so all those little green little specks are in there. Don't get the dried stuff. The fresh is so much better, and you can find it at most stores. And then a heavy teaspoon of horseradish in there, salt and pepper, and then about 8 ounces of that salmon. Mix all that together by hand. Don't put
it on a cracker.
Right. Don't put it in a food processor. You don't want it creamy.
No.
You want chunks of that salmon in there. Mix it by hand. I'm telling you, that is a money. You take
that. Don't put it in your food processor. No. It'll look like factory dip.
Yeah.
Hey, little shout out to Cold Steel Tactical. Don't forget Saturday, May 25th from 8 to 6, Allegan, Michigan. It's on 106 Locust Street, downtown Allegan. Fun little town, by the way. It's right on the Kalamazoo River, I believe.
And not too far from Fenn Valley Winery.
Ooh, if you got a little extra really time. Close.
Yeah.
Go buy a sling and then go sling a few glasses of some Fenn Valley. I like it, Jop. You're always thinking.
All right. Hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Have fun out there and create some grill envy. We'll talk with you next week.